Well, we have indeed finished 1st and 2nd Corinthians, believe it or not. And while we certainly didn't mine all there was to be mined out of those books, we're not going to be going back there for any extended period of time for a while. Between now and the middle of October, we're going to be focusing on missions. I've seen our announcements. It tells us that Missions Conference is October 16th through the 21st. I want you to make special note of that and try to set aside time during that time to attend the Missions Conference. Missions is at the heart of God's Word, and it's not just at the heart of the Gospel or the New Testament. Missions has always been God's heart. We're going to see that today as we look back at the prophet Isaiah and the word of the Lord that Isaiah shares with us. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55, I'm going to read kind of a big chunk of it this morning. We're going to go Isaiah chapter 55 and then 56 through verse 8. So come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the prophets, to the peoples, and a leader to the commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst forth in song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars will grow, myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, that will not be cut off, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will give them joy in my house of prayer. The burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, beside those already gathered. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that it has always been Your heart to speak to us, to share Your love with us, to know us. Lord, we pray that we might come to know You more this morning, or that You would reveal Yourself in Your Word. Lord, that You would give us understanding and show us how to apply it to our lives and all that we do. Lord, we pray Your holy presence here, Your manifest presence, that each person who is here this morning would feel touched by Your hand, encouraged and blessed. Father, I pray for Your anointing to be upon myself this morning, that as I preach and speak, it would be according to the infilling and overflow of Your Holy Spirit through Your power, that it would be Your truth that is spoken, not the truth or word of man, but the word of God, spoken not in my strength, Lord, but in Yours. That Your name, Father, would be the one lifted up and glorified, that Your people would be encouraged and blessed and brought closer into Your very holy presence. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would indeed be a house of prayer for all nations. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage that I read from Isaiah is really quite powerful. And it really is very different from the way most of Israel thought about the rest of the world. Israel thought of itself as God's chosen people. After all, they were God's chosen people. But they looked at the world as excluded from God's love. That's not what God ever told them. But that's the way they took it. God's will and desire has always been to use the people of Israel to be a light that would draw the nations to Him. But where did they get this crazy idea? What caused them to think that everybody's going to be excluded? Why are these people saying there are problems? Well, we look at the law in Deuteronomy. Chapter 23, we have exclusions from the assembly. We said, here in verse 1, it says, no one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter into the assembly of the Lord. A eunuch of any way, type. They can't enter into the presence of the Lord. They can't come into the temple. They weren't allowed in. Thus we have this passage in Isaiah. Isaiah is saying specifically to the eunuch, you will be included. So why do we have this passage here? What's going on? What other exclusions do we have? Well, we have others that will not be able in. You know, no one born of a forbidden marriage, or do descendants may enter in the assembly until the 10th generation. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter, or descendants may enter in the assembly until the 10th generation. Why? Well, it was because of the way they treated the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. They came against them instead of helping them. So this was judgment against that people group for a time. That judgment has come and passed. And it specifically says not to abhor the Edomite, for he's your brother. Do not abhor the Egyptian, because you lived as an alien in his country. Now the third generation can be brought in the temple. They're told other places, you know, those who are your servants, your slaves, they're to live with you and to participate with you, to bring them in. But some people saw this exclusion and they got more interested in who do we exclude from God's glory and God's presence. Who doesn't make it? Than they were about the fact that God was about calling people into His glory and into His presence. And that Israel was to be a light of that. And that Jesus came to be the light of that. Well, we see the promise, an invitation to come. Come those who are thirsty, those who are hungry. See this story in another location, don't we? Come those who are thirsty. Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. A woman who, well, let's just say she hadn't lived the most upright moral life. And she wasn't in the midst of having already turned her life around when she met Jesus. But it was meeting Jesus that turned her life around. See, she met Jesus, and Jesus asked for a drink of water. And then he proceeded to say, you know, you really should have been the one asking me for water, because I would have given you a drink of eternal water. This is the water that Isaiah is speaking of. That's what Jesus was speaking of. The gift of the Holy Spirit within. The one that comes from knowing God. The passage also speaks of people who don't know God. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Now, God doesn't know nations. He doesn't know about the Kanjo people. I certainly didn't know about this Bogo. You know, they're making that one up just to pull my chain. No, I'm sure it's a real people group, but you know, sounds funny to our ears. God doesn't know them. Yes, He does. But what He doesn't know, but He doesn't know them. As in, have that personal relationship. Here the knowledge that we're talking about is one of knowing intimately. Knowing, having a relationship with somebody. Not, you know, yeah, I know that there are people in France. I've never been to France. So, you know, there might be somebody in France that I know, but I don't know France. I don't know the French. Why? Because I haven't had a relationship with them. I haven't gotten to know them. Now, I can say I know the Hmong, or at least a section of them. Some of them. How's that? Well, they're here. Here in Brooklyn Center. They're part of our church. They're people whom I've come to know over the last 10, 11 years. And I can say, hey, I know them. Why? They invite me to their parties. They feed me. This is important. I invite them. I feed them. That's important. Why? It's sharing. It's having that relationship. I help them. They help me. We build a relationship. That's our relationship that we have with God. That God's talking about here. Not necessarily that we help God. Does God need our help? No. But we do the work that God gives us to do. That's what being obedient is. Do that which I ask you to do. Jesus clarifies for that in John. Now, when we're looking at this passage, we see, you know, this talk of bringing in new nations is here in the Old Testament. God's promise and His desire to bring the nations to worship Him isn't just this New Testament idea. Many think that that's just New Testament. God doesn't change. He hasn't changed. His heart has always been for all the peoples of the world. He's laid it out. People aren't going to be excluded. If they love the Lord, if they will hold fast to Him, let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from His people." No, you see, if we bind ourselves to the Lord, the Lord will not exclude us. If our neighbor will bind themselves to the Lord will not exclude them. That is not a brand new idea with the church. It's always been God's will and desire. Now, He did have special rules for the temple, but those things are changing. And He says that I will bring the nations to my holy hill. The nations. He's not talking about the different tribes of Israel coming out of the various places of the nations after the diaspora. He's talking about the different peoples of the world. He's going to draw them all to Him. Because His purpose, His desire is indeed for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. That passage right there, we had a church retreat back in June of 2002. And that verse was given to us as prophecy. This is the purpose of Northbrook, to be a house of prayer for all nations. I've got it written here in my Bible, you know, little note. But while that's something where we said this is what Northbrook is about, it's always been what God is about. Missions. God has always cared about those who don't know Him. Has always desired that those who don't know Him would come to know Him. It's never been God's will or desire to exclude. There were some who were excluded based upon being unfit because they had harmed God's people. They had some who were excluded. Yes, based upon their physical limitations. How do we deal with that? Because here we have something that's telling us they're not going to be now. Does God change? No, but there was a reason for the time while that was not to be. The temple, which we no longer have here on earth, was to where the very presence of God did reside. He resided within, between, we're told, the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord's presence was there, and the Ark of the Covenant was within the first the tabernacle and then later the temple. And only that which has been perfected, which is perfect, was to come into the presence of the Lord. And before Christ came, they had to go through the sacrifice. And even that just was barely covering. We're doing it. But now we've had that one sacrifice for all, where Christ died for all people to cover all sins. And when we who have bound ourselves to the Lord, we are now covered with the blood of Christ. And what the Lord sees when He looks at us is the Son. He no longer sees our imperfections. He sees the one He loves. Those barriers that were there before are no longer necessary, because Christ has had victory and has brought that victory and laid it before us and said, "It's yours. You can have it if you'll receive." The sovereign Lord declares, "He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered." He is going to gather them. And the one He's talking about here is indeed Christ. Before Christ went to the cross, all this wasn't possible. But now it is. Because none of us could go before God. Because of our sinful natures. Because of our imperfect beings. Not one of us could stand in our own righteousness. And the sacrifice of animals, it was very temporary. Very short-lived. But now we've had that one sacrifice for all, which washes us clean. And it's always been God's desire that all the nations would know this. "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar." That which was previously unacceptable will now be acceptable. Doesn't matter who they were, as long as they are willing to bind themselves to God. As long as they're willing to obey, as long as they are going to honor God, honor the Sabbath. Do what it is the Lord has commanded them to do. What has He commanded us to do? Well, now we've seen in later Revelation, Jesus said, we are to love one another. We are to take the Word of God to the nations. He's given us that job. It's always been God's heart that the world would know Him. Might we understand that? And knowing it, might we be obedient to it? Have we Have we tied ourselves to God? Have we said, "Lord, you're my God. I am yours. I will obey. Out of love for you, I will do what it is that you've asked me to do." What has He asked me to do? What has He asked you to do? What has He asked us to do? Love one another. The most loving thing we can do is to share the love of Christ with those who don't have it. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to love one another. And we're to love the world, even our enemies. Not just, we're to love those who love us. We're to love those who we don't know. And we're to love those whom we've had negative contact with. Because that's what the Lord's command has been. So even those who come against us, as Tim was talking about, even the bearded ones who come against, we're to love them and pray that all the nations might hear and receive the gospel. That the blinders might be taken off their eyes to God's word. That they could indeed enter with joy. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst forth in song before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's quite the picture. This is what God wants. It's been His heart. Now the question is it our heart? It's supposed to be. Let us have a heart for those who don't know the gospel, who don't know the living water, those who do not know the one who brings them healing, the one who is the hope and light of the world. Might we be lights. Might we speak the word to all the nations that they might be drawn. Might we not somehow say, this group is excluded. Because God says here in His word, they're not. If they're willing to bind themselves to Him and love and be obedient to Him, He will forgive them. So we should. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You that we we've heard it. Those of us here have indeed heard Your word. Lord, I don't think there's too many of us here or of Jewish heritage. At least not in recent generations. But Father, each and every one of us is part of the nations whom You've called. Lord, might we not seek to exclude others from Your fellowship, but might we seek, as has always been Your heart, for the nations to come and to gather and worship together. Lord, that we would come and gather to worship all the nations. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we'll be singing Sanctuary.